Amen. Praise the Lord for that special. Very well done. Great message and song. Praise the Lord for it. Have your Bibles with us this evening. If you'd look with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Sunday nights, we've been going through and studying the divisions of the Bible. We started with the book of Genesis and the divisions of the Old Testament. Then we got into the divisions of the New Testament. Last week, we started the general epistles. And we studied the book of James. Tonight we're studying the second book in the general epistles, which is basically practical Christianity. Practical Christianity in the general epistles. We're looking into the book of 1 Peter. Now on Wednesday nights, we just completed a Bible character study on Ruth. We did that a week ago Wednesday. This last Wednesday we had our business meeting, our election of officers. We're going to be starting a new character study this coming Wednesday night on Gideon. And so looking forward to that and being able just to break that down and go through several lessons and messages on the judge that God had called to judge Israel named Gideon. All right, so we'll do that Wednesday night. But tonight, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll be reading here 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And let's pray. Father, we do bow before you. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us and allowing us to sense your presence and the blessings that we've already received by being in church tonight. And now as we look into this epistle that you have preserved for us, I ask God that you would give us insight into this that we might learn what you have us to learn from this epistle of 1 Peter. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here that chapter 1, verse 1, written to believers, Peter here, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, is writing to believers who were facing persecution and sufferings for Christ as they had been dispersed and are strangers in all the different areas where they were dispersed into. And in their area, wherever they went, by the grace of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were able to be a witness. And we were seeing New Testament churches popping up. And because souls were being saved and churches were being established, it's just a blessing to see what was taking place as we understand in history what took place in that first century. And now we're reading what Peter got was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write during that time as well. So he is writing to those that were scattered, strangers, believers, if you will. And as you look here in chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter was looking to encourage them concerning their faith. Now, as you look through the entire book of 1 Peter, you find that everything has to do with encouraging believers in their faith, in their belief in Jesus Christ, okay? And so that's important because that's the theme throughout this entire book of 1 Peter is this encouragement of faith. And in verse 5, he says this, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, sometimes we read that, we just read over it, we don't really get the meaning of that, but kept by the power of God. Now, just stop and think about the power of God. The power of God was that which established the universe, spoke the worlds into existence, created humanity in his image and after his likeness. I mean, the power of God, they're just... It's omnipotent power. There's no limit to it. And we are kept by that power of God. But the next two words is through faith. Our faith is associated with the power of God. Amen. See, it's through our faith that we have access to God. And we can only have access to God through Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith to believe that Jesus was the Messiah that came as a sacrificial lamb and offers us eternal life, a gift of everlasting life, access into the Father. That's faith to believe in salvation. Once you have that salvation, you have access through faith, through the power of God. I mean, that right there, just think about that. That is huge. That is something that ought to cause us all to do as Peter wants to encourage them to do, first of all, in chapter 1, and that is rejoice. Amen. If you're saved, listen to me, you can rejoice you're saved. Nothing can take that from you. It was a gift of God. You can't give it back. It's yours. Amen. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. I know the Free Will Baptists, they believe that you can't lose your salvation, but you can give it back if you want to give it back. Yeah, that person didn't really have salvation. They truly didn't understand that there's a literal hell, and they didn't understand about a literal heaven, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Who would not want to go to heaven if you believed it was real? Who would not want to escape the damnations of hell if you know it to be real? Amen? And so we're kept by the power that created all things, that put all things into existence, that's eternal. And all of this, our part, faith. Faith, belief. So Paul's wanted to encourage them concerning their faith. Practical Christianity has to do everything to do with faith. We come to church because of our faith, and we want to have our faith increased. We want to have our faith grown. We want to be able to benefit from it. Three things tonight, as we look in the book of 1 Peter, as you go through it, you'll find that Peter wants, and it's all associated with the power of God through faith. And that's, first of all, chapter 1 is to rejoice over it. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 is grow it. And if you will, the rest of the book of 1 Peter has to do with how we live it out, how we live out our faith. How we just, now that we have it and we're growing it, how important it is to grow it so that you'll have it to live out the rest of your life. Faith. So we find here, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein, now that you understand that, now that you know that, ye greatly rejoice. Even though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's trials. That the trial, God allows it because of your faith. And when you know that God only allows trials into my life, the things I go through are there for one basic purpose, and that is to encourage and strengthen a faith that associates itself with the power of God. Amen. Once you understand that, you can rejoice and say, God, I'll go through whatever trial you want me to go through. If that's going to increase my faith and strengthen my faith and give me more access to the very powers of God. Yeah, wow. So rejoice over it, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. All right, well, how many rejoice if you have somebody give you a substantial sum of gold? Yeah, I think we would all rejoice. Amen. I don't live for money, but it takes money to live. Yeah, so he uses that because he knows that appeals to humanity. And so he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto, here again, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, that's faith, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now that's powerful stuff right there, it really is. So, but Peter's writing to them and he says, you have something that is worth more than gold. Yes, you're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to have to deal with certain things. But it's all there if you keep your faith. In order to grow your faith, you will have to go through some trying experiences so that you can prove your faith. As we go through those times, it actually helps us to see, what kind of faith do I have? If every time that I have something happen to me and I'm ready to just give up on Christianity, I don't have much faith. If I'm not ready and willing and looking to take everything to the Lord in prayer, no matter what it is, whether it be a desire, whether it be a need, whether it be a request, whatever it might be, if I cannot take that to the Lord in prayer, that reveals how little bit of faith that I have. Because I'm to take everything to God in prayer. When I understand that my faith, my belief in God, has access to the power of God, and in the power of God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wow. So I can rejoice over. Our faith gives us access to the power of God, which ought to cause us to rejoice. Jesus taught the disciple, there's nothing impossible if you have faith to believe. You can move mountains. Yeah. Even when we can't visibly see God, we can't even visibly see and understand why I'm going through this or why this happened, whom having not seen, you love. We love God by faith to know that He first loved us. Because He first loved me, and He's proven it by sending His only begotten Son to die for me, how could you not love somebody that loves you so much? Yeah. Whom you have not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not. You might not understand it, but yet believing, yet through faith, you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even when we can't visibly see Him, through faith, we can believe. And if we have that faith to believe, then it can bring a joy that nothing else is going to be able to comfort you during that time. When you're going through the loss of a loved one, especially a parent or a child or a relative, and you lost that ability to be able to communicate with them and fellowship with them. I mean, there's a sadness, there's a void, there's something that affects us in a certain way. But if you have faith to know that they're in heaven in glory, we'll see them again. And this life is just a temporal, in eternity, it'll be in heaven, it'll be eternal. I think that's causes us to rejoice. That's enough to just rejoice over. In chapter 1 and verse 21, he says this, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith ought to never waver. It's a foundation. The foundation of my belief is Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He ushered in the New Testament. He came. He revealed Himself to humanity. Not only in the Bible has He revealed Himself, but in secular history. And 2,000 years later, His life is still impacting the earth. It's still impacting communities. It's impacting society. It's impacting the whole world. Why? Because it's real. Yeah. He came the first time, he'll come a second time. Even though it's been 2,000 years, he's coming. I don't know when, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, because of my faith, he's coming. And there is life after death. And there is going to be a hallelujah reunion at the rapture of the saints. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. You see, because that's what they needed and that's what we need. As we go through life and we go through the temptations and we go through the trials and tragedies and all the different things that we have to face in this life, it's your faith. That's key. And that will bring joy and rejoicing into our lives. So rejoice over faith. And then the second thing is found in chapter 2. After that, we believe it, we understand it, we're thankful for it, we're rejoicing over it. In chapter 2, we are to protect and grow it. We are to protect and grow it. In chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, which we base our faith upon, Jesus coming, a lively, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do as Christians. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So our faith is based upon the reality and the belief in Jesus Christ and who he was and what he presented and what he has preserved for us, the Bible. Now we have that faith as a believer. The first thing to do is to protect it and then grow it. Verse 1, wherefore laying aside. Now what is verse 1? It's telling you how to protect it. Laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. Before we can grow, we need to protect what faith we have. Sin and turning to the world will drown out your faith. It will cover your faith. It will cause doubts to come into your heart and mind. And so we have to protect what we have. I don't know how many gardeners we have in here, and of course, coming to springtime, it's a time to start planting seeds and all the different things. I love spring because everything's coming to life, and I remember planting a few plants myself and wanting to see them grow, and you get excited when you go out there and you know that you've put the fertilizer in, you've tilled the ground, you put the seeds in, and when the seeds actually start growing, I mean, it's an amazing thing. You just rejoice over that, and it's so to see that seed grow. And you want to see it to grow to complete maturity so that you can then start getting the fruit off of the plant. That's the whole idea. And so at the end, you're thinking the fruit, but I've got to continue to keep it growing in order to get the fruit. I remember going out one morning and the evening before, I went out there and I was making sure the weeds were gone by looking at it. And I mean, it was starting to come up. It was about this high and I was excited about it. Went out the next morning and it was all the way, nibbled all the way down to the ground. I didn't protect it from the rabbits. And the rabbits got in there and they liked it just the way it was. It didn't have to grow completely and be fruitful. They wanted to eat it just the way that those plants were. And they got in there and they ate it all up. And I'm thinking, how can I grow it if I don't, first of all, protect it? See, the problem with a lot of Christians is they're not protecting their spiritual growth that they have. They're not protecting the faith that they have. Now, your faith needs to increase. It continually needs to increase, and you need to grow your faith. But if you're not protecting what you have, you'll never grow it. And so Peter is writing to them, and he says, first of all, know of your faith, rejoice. It gives you access to the power of God. You can rejoice over that, but you have to grow it to the place where you can trust it to give you access to God. And if you're not turning away from the things that will stunt your growth, you'll never grow. Wow. Now, turn away from anything that might stunt our growth. Since that time, I know I don't garden anymore because of it, probably. It's too much hassle. I'd rather just go out and buy the vegetables, or praise the Lord for you that do grow it and you bring it to me. That's even better. But because I realize once you got rid of the rabbits and you put the fence up around it, then the bugs start eating away at it. And once you put the bugs, then the weeds. I mean, it's just a continual work. And yet, our faith is somewhat the same. It's continual work. But it's worth it. Because it's access to the power of God. Yeah. Verse 2 to 6, it really helps us to understand, look to those things that produce a desire to grow. And I love the illustration that he gives us here as a newborn babe. As newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You don't try to feed a baby a steak and hard meat and all that. No, they have to grow to the place where they can enjoy that filet mignon. Amen. After a little while. But they have to grow to the place where they can enjoy that. And so their desire is something that they can digest, something that can help them at their level, if you will, at their age, to grow. So we need to be involved in those things that would help us produce a desire to grow. You know, that's why ministries are so important. I've often told and preached the fact that you have to give out before you can continue to bring in. If you're not sharing your testimony, then before you know it, you'll stop giving it out. I mean, you won't even be thankful for your own testimony. If you're looking to help others, and you help others first of all with a testimony, then you help others by possibly starting to disciple them and trying to help them to understand, answering questions that they might have, directing them in the ways of the Bible. And when you have that going on, when you're involved in giving out, then you have a desire because you want to help. And when that person has a question, you say, I don't know that right now. Give me a little time to research that. I'll get back with you. There is an answer. I can tell you there is an answer to your question. I just have to research it. And I have to grow a little bit more myself to be able to present this answer to you. And when you're wanting to give out, you want to get back. I remember the first time I taught Sunday school many, many years ago. I remember I had probably about 10 pages of notes, you know, to teach JET cadets, junior kids. Yeah, because I wanted to make sure I had enough material to teach 10 minutes. Yeah. And I studied and I studied. Praise the Lord, because I wanted to help. I want to be used of the Lord. Amen. And I think that's something that we ought to continue. Amen. It will help us when we start giving out, when we start realizing you have more than what you think you have. Satan wants to limit you in how you can be used of God. And if he can keep you pressed down and make you think that you don't have anything to offer, if you're saved, you have what the rest of the world has need of. Yeah. You have much to offer. Bible knowledge is what the world needs today. Answers to the problems of society will come from way of God's word. If you don't do it God's way, there are no answers for the problems that we have in society. They're just band-aids that will get worse. And boy, aren't we not seeing that take place even in our societies today? Yeah. Ministries, teaching and preaching allows us a desire, a hunger. When you come into church, I mean, praise the Lord for the music, and we ought to want to receive the message. Every song that you're going to sing in this church and every special you hear have a message that can minister to you. But when we come to the place, when we open up the Word of God, we ought to have a hunger, a desire to feed upon the Word of God so that I might apply it. Amen. Not just store it all in, but store it in so I can give it out and go back and say, God, I'm empty. I need more. Amen. And we just go to God, get more because I have access to Him. He can give me what we need to take it to give it out. And then after I give it out, I realize I need more. I come back to God and say, God, I need more. He'll give you more, and you give it out, and He'll give you more. And that's how you grow. Yeah. You protect it and then grow our faith. The third thing tonight we find, and this is most of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, all the way to the end of chapter 5 and verse 14, is now that we have this faith, we understand the power of this faith, we're rejoicing over this faith, we are protecting what we have and then growing it, live it out. We don't have time to go through and study and teach on everything, every part of this letter that Peter wrote to help us to deal with all the different things that we will face. But in chapter 2 and verse 9, the beginning of it says this, ye are a chosen generation. Know that God knew where, when in the scheme of things He was going to plant each one of us. In the year 2019, God has planted you here. Amen. Whatever generation, whatever needs in our generation, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, the priesthood of every born-again believer, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means I can't just blend into the society. That's not what a Christian is to do. A Christian is to be a little different from the world, not be weird, but we are to be different. Peculiar is not weird. Peculiar is different. Peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. People without Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not, they're living in spiritual darkness. They'll live out the rest of their days in spiritual darkness, never knowing what they're missing out on when it comes to a faith in God, a faith in Jesus Christ, a peace that passeth all understanding, knowing whatever happens to me in this life, I've got heaven and eternity to look forward to. They'll live out the rest of their life in spiritual darkness. But Jesus says, you're the light. Not only that, you're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your Savior. Don't lose your saltiness. And make sure that you let your light so shine. Amen. That's living out our faith. It starts there, and then this thought of living out our faith goes all the way to the end of chapter 5 and verse 14. But verse 4 and verse 19, I want you to look at this verse. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Not according to your sin, because you've done things wrong. But if you're living for God and you suffer persecution, you suffer trials, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We live it out, putting God's hands. No matter what it is, put it in God's hands. Day after day, year after year, put it in God's hands. Amen. Live out my faith to know that God is working. God is real. Yeah. And then chapter 5. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, as we're closing here tonight. verses 1 through 4, it is a charge to pastors to truly represent Christ by feeding and leading God's sheep. That's for every pastor to understand, but it's also for every church member to understand. If this is what God would have for the pastor, it's what God would have for us. I believe that every believer needs to have a church, and every church needs to have a pastor. And as we assemble ourselves together, every member needs to be fed. That's growing our faith. To be able to live out the rest of our lives in faith, I have to continually grow it, keep it moving forward. So he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not by will, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that means that we are the under shepherds, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that is the rapture of the church, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Pastors need to know that. One of the most important things that I will do as a pastor is to preach this word. Yeah. Preach the word of God. One of the most important things that others will do, other church members, is to come and take in, to be able to help strengthen and grow my faith so I can live it out. Without the church, you will not live out your life as God wants you to live it out. You just won't do it. You don't have, there's too much opposition. You need the church. We all need his church. And then verse 8 and 9, and we'll close with this. He says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the one who's trying to stunt your spiritual growth, the one who's going to try to keep you living in spiritual darkness, the one that does not want you to ever serve Christ, is going to try to render you useless for the cause of Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's the world we live in. It's real. Yeah. And Satan's after the believer. He would much rather, he's already got the lost world. He wants to devour the believer. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. This is what God's doing. You keep the faith, looking to him, no matter what you have to go through, again, while make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look to faith to face our adversary. Faith is what we need to have to identify who our enemy is. Don't let Satan convince you that your enemy is somebody else. He is the enemy. Spiritual warfare is our battle. Grow to be able to resist. It's not a matter if we're going to. It is, we're going to, it's when, and how severe are we going to have to fight this roaring lion, our enemy, spiritual enemy that's trying to devour us. We need to grow to be able to resist. Once we've identified him, the Bible says, then whom, once you've identified him, resist steadfast, look what it says, in the faith. Going back to the importance of that faith. Kept by the power of God through faith. In life and in my death, we ought to want to glorify the Lord. Peter wrote this epistle soon after Peter would write 1 and 2 Peter, the epistles of 1 and 2 Peter. He would suffer crucifixion. Not found in the Bible, it's found in Israel, the history of Israel. And in secular history, tells of Peter. Tells that, first of all, under the cruel leadership of Nero, crucifying and persecuting Christians, he first of all had Peter watch his wife suffer her death first. It's said that he would yell out to her, "Remember the Lord. Keep the faith no matter what you have to go through. Remember the Lord." And after her dying, he asked to be crucified upside down so that he would not feel worthy to be crucified the same way of Christ. He just wrote 1 and 2 Peter. He knew that they were going to have to suffer a lot of different things, possibly in preparation for his death. He gained strength in his faith. I don't know what we'll face. I do know this. Faith is the key. It's so vitally important to every part of the Christian life. Let's rejoice over it, protect what we have, and grow it to be ready for whatever we might have to face in life. If I could have every head bowed. Yeah, praise the Lord for the power of our Christian faith. Do you have it? If you're saved, you have it. It takes faith, not great faith, just a little faith to be saved. Just faith enough to call upon the name of the Lord. You can be saved. That's where it begins. It gives you access, that beginning to God, the power of God. As you grow it, you learn it, you're strengthened by it. You can face even a crucifixion. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this book of 1 Peter. And Lord, how we have gleaned from it tonight. And I pray, God, that you would use what was preached tonight to speak to each and every one that's here, that we might be strengthened by it and have this desire leaving this place, first of all, to protect what faith we do have, and then start growing it and growing it and growing it. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.